This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, in this majlis, we will be going through some revision questions pertaining to Kitab al-Tahara, walhamdulillah. Why some revision questions, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah? Because we want to revise, insha'Allah. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And remind, for verily a reminder benefits the believers. And also because, via these questions, we understand whether we've really understood the material or not. And remember, these questions, we will be going through them and answering them in light of what we learned, in light of the Hanbali school of jurisprudence. And we know that the Hanbali school of jurisprudence has many riwayat and aqwal and opinions, but we are sticking to, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, to the standard opinion, the mu'tamad opinion, insha'Allah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With regards to fiqh, generally fiqh can be divided into how many categories? Generally can be divided into four categories. What are they? Number one, ibadat. And so here you have your salah, your zakah, your siyam, your hajj, and the Hanbalis add in jihad. What about our tahara? Well, tahara falls within the matters of salah because tahara is a precondition of the prayer, walhamdulillah. Then number two, we have the mu'amalat, your social dealings, transactions, buying and selling. Then the third one, family fiqh, fiqh al-usra. Here we deal with nikah and talaq and custody, etc. Number four, ilm al-qada or al-jinayat, the legal penalties, the matters pertaining to the judiciary, walhamdulillah. So those four categories make up the science of fiqh. What are the five pillars of al-Islam? The first one, your shahadatain, and then you have your salah, your zakah, your siyam, and your hajj, walhamdulillah. Why generally in the books of fiqh, they do not discuss the first pillar of al-Islam? They do not talk about the matters of tawheed. They do not talk about aqeedah. They don't talk about this fiqh al-akbar. Because this science here is given a separate discussion. It's a science on its own. It's a topic on its own. And it is called fiqh al-akbar, which is the major fiqh. Whereas the jurisprudence we are talking about here, this is the secondary fiqh, fiqh al-asghar, insha'Allah, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, with regards to the preconditions of prayer, what are the preconditions of prayer? How many are they? There are six. Six preconditions before you say Allahu Akbar. What are they? Number one, your tahara from hadath, your tahara from ritual impurity, meaning your tahara, you need to take a ghusl or you need to take a wudu, walhamdulillah. Then there's also tahara ensuring that your body, your clothing, and the place where you are praying, there's no najasa there. So two types of tahara are preconditions for your prayer. Tahara from hadath, and also tahara of your badan, your body, your clothing, and your musalla. Then number three, the third precondition is you need to face towards the qibla. Fourth precondition, you need to cover your aura. Fifth precondition, the time of the salah must have come in. And the sixth precondition is your intention, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, with regards to tahara, tahara can be divided into two categories. Tahara from hadath and tahara from khabath or najasa. Tahara from hadath, hadath is a state. I don't have wudu right now. I'm in a minor state of impurity. I was woke up and had a nocturnal emission while asleep. So need to take a ghusl. I'm in a major state of impurity. The sister, her menses has ended or her nifas bleeding has stopped. And so she's in a major state of impurity. She requires taking a ghusl, walhamdulillah. So the first category of tahara is tahara from these states. Tahara from the state of hadath al-asghar and hadath al-akbar. The other type of tahara is tahara from najasa. You have some najasa, some urine on your clothing, some urine on your body, some alcohol on the floor. You need to cleanse this away. Walhamdulillah. So two types of tahara. Walhamdulillah. What are the pillars, or rather the wajibat or the fara'id of wudu? What are those matters that I have to do in my wudu? They are six, as mentioned in the Noble Quran. Number one, washing your entire face. Number two, washing your arm from the tip of your finger up to and including your elbows. Number three, wiping your head and also wiping the ears. The ears are included within the definition of the head. And the fourth one, washing your feet up to and including the ankles. Then what about the other two? The other two, tartib. You need to follow this order. These four here, wash, wash, wipe and wash. You need to follow that order. And muwalat, which is continuity. You need to wash one after the other. Not wash your face in the morning and then you're washing your arms at lunchtime. Not permissible. So those are the six wajibat or six fara'id of wudu. Walhamdulillah. What are some things that I can wipe over? You know, I'm taking wudu. Are there some things that I can wipe over? The answer is yes. I'm allowed to wipe over my socks, leather or non-leather. Allowed to wipe over a bandage. Allowed to wipe over the turban. Woman's allowed to wipe over her headscarf. Obviously, these conditions with regards to all of them. Walhamdulillah. What's the time period for this wiping over the socks? Resident, 24 hours. Traveler, 72 hours. Walhamdulillah. What do we use? What do we use to remove najas? So there's some urine on the floor, there's some urine on my garment, there's some alcohol which has splashed on my clothes. What do we use to remove these najasat? We use tahur water. We use tahur water, the pure water. Walhamdulillah. And according to the madhab, how many times do I need to wash? I need to wash, the najasa is on my garment. How many times do I need to wash that? I need to wash that area seven times. What is the awra of the male? The area between the navel and the knee. So technically the navel could be exposed and the knee could be exposed. The area between it, that's the awra of the male. And the awra of the female? In salah, in her home, the entire body except the face. Her entire body must be covered except her face. Walhamdulillah. What about an individual taking wudu and he purposefully leaves out bismillah? According to the madhab, his wudu is nullified because it's wajib. You must say bismillah if you remember. Excellent. An individual, he ate some camel meat and then he performed his salah without repeating his wudu. What's the status of his salah? It's invalid. Why? Because eating camel meat, flesh, it is a nullifier of the wudu according to the madhab. Walhamdulillah. An individual, he kissed his wife, out of mercy, rahmah, he kissed her on the forehead without any desire and he went to the masjid and performed salah. Is that okay? Yes, it's fine. It's fine, inshallah. The same brother, a few days later, he held his wife's hand and he gave a kiss on the cheek, but this was with desire. With desire. Then his wudu is nullified. His wudu is broken. Her wudu is intact if there was no desire on her part. Walhamdulillah. An individual took wudu and then he had a cut on his hand and a lot of blood was released. A lot of blood gushed out. And then later on, he performed his salah. Is his salah valid? No. Why? Because a lot of blood exiting this wound is a nullifier of the wudu. And so his wudu is broken. He would have needed to perform a fresh wudu. Excellent. An individual, he had, the release of semen. And this semen was released with desire. But later on, after he had taken his ghusl, he noticed that a few drops of semen leaked out. And he just washed his private and he went along and performed salah. He says, because I've already taken my ghusl, this which leaked out, there's no issue with regards to this. He went along and performed his salah. Is his salah valid? Invalid. Why? Because the release of that semen there dripping out, it nullified his wudu. It didn't require him to take a new ghusl. No need for a new ghusl, brother. But you do need to repeat your wudu. You need to take a fresh wudu. Walhamdulillah. An individual became Muslim. David became a Muslim. Walhamdulillah, he embraced al-Islam. And after embracing Islam, he took wudu and he performed salah. According to the madhab, is that valid? Invalid. Why? Because according to the madhab, it's required that when somebody becomes Muslim, they take a ghusl. They take a ghusl. And so David, you need to go and take a ghusl first. Then after that, you can perform salah, insha'Allah. An individual, he fell asleep while he was seated, and a little bit of sleep, light sleep, insha'Allah. And then he opens his eyes, he stood up, and he performed his salah. Salah's fine? Yes, his salah is fine. Why? Because number one, he was seated, he was not lying down. Number two, it was a little bit of sleep, light sleep, and so his wudu is intact, insha'Allah. A resident, he performed his wudu, and then he wiped over his leather sock for the third day. And then he performed his salah. For the third day, subhanAllah, resident, you only have 24 hours. So all the salawat that you prayed with that khuffain on, after the 24 hours, you need to repeat all of them. Excellent. Tawadda'a, some individual, he took wudu with tahir water. Tahir water, not tahur water. Remember, according to the madhab, water is divided into three categories. Tahur, that which is pure, it's on its original basis, original quality and nature. Second one, tahir water. And third one, najis. So this guy took wudu with tahir water. And so, is his wudu valid? His wudu is invalid. Wudu is invalid. You need to use tahur water and not tahir water. Some individual took tayammum while water was available. Water was available, but he made tayammum. His tayammum is invalid. Tayammum is invalid. Another individual, very, very ill, very weak, and he cannot make it to the bathroom to go and take wudu. And even the water is available, this individual made tayammum and performed salah. Is this salah valid? Yes, it is. Why? Because we make tayammum when we don't have water or when we're unable to use the water. And this man here, very old and weak, is unable to use the water. Walhamdulillah. Another individual, he makes tayammum, while water was available, but unfortunately the water was ice cold, and it's in the middle of the winter, and he feared if he uses this water, he might fall ill. So he makes tayammum, and he performs his salah. Is his tayammum and salah valid? Yes, it is valid. Walhamdulillah. We don't say to him, no, go and take wudu with ice cold water and get sick. We don't say that. Allahu musta'an. Somebody takes wudu and he does not say bismillah and he performs his salah. We say, well, let's see. Did you purposefully leave out bismillah at the time of wudu? He says, yes. We say, your wudu is invalid. He says, wallahi, I forgot. I forgot to say bismillah at the time of my wudu. We say, don't worry, your wudu is fine. Walhamdulillah. Because this wajib matter, it falls away if you forget. Another individual, he took wudu, but he left out takhleel of his beard. MashaAllah, he's got a very nice, thick, full beard, and he didn't pass his fingers through the beard inside, etc. Is his wudu fine? Yes, his wudu is fine. That day is recommended. It is mustahab. It is a sunnah, inshaAllah. Another individual, he took wudu and he wiped over his head, then he washed his hands, and then he washed his face, and then he washed his feet, and then he performed salah. We say your salah is invalid and your wudu is invalid. Why? Because you didn't follow the proper order, the order mentioned in the Noble Quran. Excellent. Another individual, he takes wudu and he does not wipe over his ears, and then he goes and performs salah. Wudu is invalid. Why? Because you need to wipe over your ears just like you wipe over your head. Excellent. Another individual, Salman, he took a ghusl from Janaba and he wipes over his khufain while taking that ghusl. So subhanAllah, he's been wearing these khuffain for a few days now. And for his ghusl, he goes and takes a shower while wearing that khuffain, while wearing the khuffain, subhanAllah. And so he wipes over the khuffain, wipes over those leather socks. We say to him that your ghusl is not valid. Why? Because you cannot wipe over your khuffain for your ghusl. The khuffain you are allowed to wipe over when it comes to your wudu, but not for your ghusl. Another individual, Salman's brother, took a ghusl and he's got this bandage over his arm, and he fears that if he removes the bandage, you know, his wound is not going to heal well. And so for his ghusl, for the washing of the arm, he's unable to wash, so he wipes over the entire bandage. Will that suffice? Yes, that will suffice. Wiping over the bandage is allowed for your ghusl and allowed for your wudu. Walhamdulillah. Another individual washes the face, and after washing the face, then only makes the wudu intention. Then only makes the intention of wudu and continues, you know, as normal. We say your wudu is invalid. Why? Because when you washed your face, you had no intention of wudu. When you washed your face, you had no intention of wudu. And so that face wash was not included in your wudu. And so you need to repeat your wudu. Walhamdulillah. Another individual takes a ghusl from janaba and washes the entire body one time, head to toe. But because the shower was very, very strong, walhamdulillah, you know, they didn't really rub their hand or rub anything on the body. They just ensured with the shower, ensured that the entire body was completely wet. Will that suffice? The answer is yes. As for rubbing your one arm on the rest of the body, rubbing some sort of sponge, etc. on the body, this dalk, this is mustahab. It's recommended, but it's not a requirement. Not a requirement. Salman's uncle wiping over his leather socks, but these socks have holes in them. They have small holes in them. Can he wipe over his socks? You can see the skin. Can he wipe over these socks? The answer is no, according to the madhab. Why? Because here you are wiping, you know, that's the secondary covering. But we can see your skin, and that skin there needs to be washed. And so you cannot be joining between, you know, these two matters. You either wear a proper khuf or you either wash your feet and nothing in between. Walhamdulillah. Another individual, he ate the liver of the camel. Does he need to repeat his wudu? The answer is no. Only if he eats the flesh of the camel. Husband, wife touched each other with lust and desire. Both their wudu has now been nullified. Excellent. Husband and wife were together and they were intimate with one another, and there was the disappearance of the head of the male private organ in the female private organ. Is ghusl due from both of them even though there was no ejaculation? Is ghusl due from them? The answer is yes. Ghusl is due when the head of the male private organ enters the female private organ. Ghusl due from both of them. Walhamdulillah, mashallah. The individual had the clothing outside on the line, and there was some bird droppings which fell on that clothing. So this najasa here, this was from an eagle. This was from an eagle, a bird that we are not allowed to eat. And so how many times do we need to wash this? We need to wash it 7 times. But while he was walking and looking after the cows, a little bit of the cow's urine fell on his garment. And then he went along and he performed his salah. Technically, is his salah valid? Yes. Why? Because the droppings, the urine, etc. of halal animals, it is tahir, walhamdulillah. It is tahir, walhamdulillah. MashaAllah. Another individual, Salman's uncle's cousin, he goes to the toilet and he didn't have water, and so he used toilet paper. And some of the najasa, some of the urine fell on his thighs. And he took some toilet paper and he wiped this. And then he continued, came out, and he moved on with life. Was that correct? No, that was incorrect. You can only use the toilet paper, the concession given, the toilet paper, the stone, etc., at the area where the najasa exits. But if the najasa fell on any other area of your body, then here you have to use water to cleanse that area. Walhamdulillah. Some individual, Fatima, she performed wudu and then she wiped over her khufain, which she had not put on in a state of tahara. She put it on this morning, you know, when she had woken up from her sleep, and she put on this khufayn. 3 hours later, she's taking wudu, she wants to wipe over the khufayn. Is her wudu valid? Invalid. Why? Because you can only wipe over the khufayn if you put them on in a state of tahara. You put them on after your wudu, complete wudu, then you put it on, then it would help you and you can wipe over. Walhamdulillah, mashallah. An individual, he's got this utensil made out of gold and he's got water in it. He wants to use it for his wudu. We say, no, you cannot use these gold and silver utensils. He says, okay, I have this this cow leather bag and I have water in it. But this cow here was not slaughtered Islamically. But the leather has gone through the tanning process. We say, no, you cannot keep water in it. You cannot keep any liquids in it. But you can use it for, you know, other than liquids. That would be permissible. He says, okay, I have a cow here that we slaughtered Islamically, walhamdulillah. And then we tanned its leather. Can I put water in this? We say, yes. Here it was an animal which was slaughtered Islamically. It's a halal animal. The leather was tanned. You can keep water. Water in it, walhamdulillah. An individual, as we mentioned, takes a ghusl but didn't rub the entire body, but the entire body was washed. Is the ghusl valid? Yes, the ghusl is valid, walhamdulillah. Another individual took a ghusl and didn't actually do the wudu in the ghusl, but they had the intention for performing salah. So this person goes and takes a ghusl because they want to perform salah and they wash their body head to toe, but they didn't actually do the wudu in it, but they made sure the entire body was washed. Technically, can they go and perform salah? Yes, they can, because they had the intention to do something which requires the intention of those ghusl and that wudu, and so it would suffice, insha'Allah, walhamdulillah. Another individual, as we mentioned, purposefully left out Bismillah at the beginning of their tayammum. There's no tayammum. Tayammum is invalid. Only if they forgot it, then it would be permissible, insha'Allah, walhamdulillah. This individual, may Allah save us, swallowed a stone by mistake, and eventually when he went to the toilet, the stone was urinated out or defecated out. Does this person require taking a wudu? Yes, he will need to take a wudu. This is a nullifier of his wudu. This is a nullifier of wudu. Another individual, he doubts whether he took wudu after he woke up this morning from his sleep. So he woke up this morning and 5 hours later, you know what, when I woke up this morning, did I take a wudu or not? We go back to our certainty, and the certainty is that you do not have any wudu. We are certain that you were asleep and you woke up without wudu, and we are doubting whether you made wudu or not. Take that doubt, throw it away, and you do not have any wudu, walhamdulillah. Another individual has a small cut on his finger, a little bit of blood came out, little bit of blood, and you know, he feels that this is a little bit of blood, and is his wudu fine? His wudu is fine, insha'Allah. Another individual has a pimple on his forehead, he bursts this pimple, a little bit of pus comes out, and he performs his salah. Is all well? Yes, all is well, walhamdulillah. This blood which exited from the cut on his finger, is this blood tahir or is it najis? It is najis, but it does not nullify his wudu, walhamdulillah. This woman, she's at the age of 80 and she finds that she is bleeding. Is this bleeding here, will this be regarded as menses bleeding? The answer is no, this is not menses bleeding. This is dam fasad, etc. A girl, she's at the age of 7 and she also bleeds. Will this be regarded as menses? The answer is no, not regarded as menses. Why? Because it's under the age of 9. This woman, she bleeds for example, only 5 hours. 5 hours and then it completely stops. Is this menses? No, this is not menses. Why? Because the minimum required is a 24-hour period, is a day and a night, insha'Allah. The urine or the droppings of the sheep, are they najis or are they tahir? They are tahir. What about the semen of the man? So husband and wife were intimate, and there was release of semen, and some of this fell onto the bed sheets. Do they require? Is it must that they need to wash this up, etc.? The answer is no. The semen, it is tahir, it is pure. Alhamdulillah. What about the sister? She finds some whitish discharge on her underwear. This is something which nullifies her wudu? Yes. Is it something which is najis? The answer is no, it's not najis. Walhamdulillah, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. The saliva of the dog, najis? Yes, it is najis. And it bit, it was licking your utensil. How do we cleanse it? We need to wash it 7 times, and one of those times with some sand, inshaAllah. One of those times with some sand, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, with regards to our wudu, we had discussed that the 6 fara'id of the wudu, we discussed, walhamdulillah, and we saw that saying Bismillah was wajib according to the madhab, but it falls away if we had forgotten. What are some of the sunnah aspects of my wudu? Then the sunnah matters, to use the miswak in wudu is a sunnah, to wash each limb 3 times is a sunnah, to wash my hands at the beginning of the wudu is a sunnah, the dhikr after my wudu is also a sunnah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, to make takhleel of my beard, pass the wet hands through the beard is a sunnah, to make takhleel between the fingers and between the toes is also a sunnah, to wash my right hand and then my left hand, these are all matters of the sunnah, walhamdulillah, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. With regards to the female and her wiping over her head scarf. So she can only do this if she had put on her scarf in a state of wudu, and also it must be the head scarf type that goes under the neck, inshaAllah. With regards to facing towards the qibla in the toilet in your home, technically, would this be permissible? The answer is yes. Why? Because there's the walls around you and it's not in the open. As for in the open, in the middle of the felt, in the middle of the desert, then here you do not face nor show your back towards the qibla. But in the house, this here would be permissible, inshallah. But obviously, it is best to avoid that. Walhamdulillah, mashaAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, with regards to ghusl, what are some of the sunan with regards to my ghusl? Then to wash the hands at the beginning 3 times, to cleanse the private areas of whatever filth there might be there, to perform wudu within my ghusl is also a sunnah, to begin with the right and then the left, to rub my hands across the entire body or with something, you know, this is also a matter of the sunnah, inshaAllah, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, with that, we've covered a decent enough amount of revision related to Tahara according to the Hanbali Madhab, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah to grant us knowledge which is beneficial, keep us away from knowledge which is not beneficial. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst the pure in our bodies, pure in the external and also the internal, inshaAllah. We want to attain purity of the heart. We want to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a heart which is pure, a heart which is sound. هذا wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.